Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
We are grateful that you've tuned in today to the program. We are working through this week the parable of the wheat and the tares, and Jesus gives this reality in Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And Jesus will explain this later on really clearly by saying, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now, this is a very sobering parable where Jesus gives us and advances this great reality that the Bible presents, that all the way back from Genesis chapter 3, there are two seeds that have developed side by side in the earth, and that the devil himself has a whole seed. In fact, Jesus says the tares are the sons of the wicked one. In fact, remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees in John 8, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him." 1 John 3:10 says it this way, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." See, the Lord is explaining the nature right now of this kingdom of heaven manifested visibly on earth in his people, that among his people, the devil has planted his seed, attempting to do untold damage to the wheat. So this is a very, very sobering reality. The striking thing, this is where we left off with yesterday in verse 26. "But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared." In other words, what Jesus is saying is that with this obnoxious weed, you can't tell in the early growth stages any difference from the good grain. In the early stage, they are still a blade and you can't tell the difference. In other words, it's not until the grain begins to grow and fill out that the major difference appears between these two kinds of seeds. On the wheat, at some point, an ear appears, and on the blades, their own kind of bad head. In other words, what is being described is that for a time, you can't tell. But at some point, the kind of fruit appropriate to what kind of son they are will show itself and fulfill what Jesus said, "You will know them by the fruit that they bear." A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. It's all going to come out at some point. And you notice this even in the Christian church, that things that are kept hidden for a long time always work their way out. It always comes out in the wash. It's only a matter of time before one's true character appears. Let a little hardship come. We've all said this in the world even, that true colors will show. For a time, one can act like a believer, but true character will be exposed. But notice what Jesus says. This phenomenon doesn't show itself until you bud. Until the wheat bears forth fruit, shows forth that good ear on the grain. So expect here that if we have all these people budding in the world that are Christians, and the Lord is building his church, he is building his kingdom, the gates of hell will not prevail. So this is happening. The Lord is adding daily to the church those who are being saved. It's an amazing thing to be a part of. But guess what that also means? Right there, Where one is saved, there will be a tare who will want nothing but to wreck that. If there weren't, even in the life of a local church, that would be astronomical odds. This is the whole point of the parable, my friends, that we know this reality and not act like that's impossible. Paul described this over and over, 2 Timothy 2. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Did you hear that? The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. That is 2 Timothy 2:19 through 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, because this reality is going on, the message that Jesus is giving, and this is ultimately what the Bible gives, the patience of the saints, is that we have to be patient amidst the pain that this reality brings, that the devil has his children planted among the righteous, and that is why the Lord doesn't stop this, that the servants here are presented as troubled over this phenomenon. I mean, isn't that just what's said here? That the servants come and they say, look, there's tares in the field. Do you want us to uproot them? Do you want us to go and gather them up? But he says, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Imagine if at the time of year buds appear, you see something horribly dangerous appearing all throughout. As buds are starting to show, they are obviously seeing the ratio of tares to wheat, which must be large. A few tares wouldn't really be that concerning, but they say, look at the tares among the wheat. Do you want us to go and gather them? And again, the answer is no, lest while you're gathering the tares, you uproot the wheat among them. That is a wonderful verse of mercy, isn't it? Why? Because it's not yet manifested, right, what the sons of God shall be. The Lord has his wheat in the earth, and many of them have not yet budded. That's what Peter said. The Lord is not slow in giving us the promise. He's not withholding what he promised to give us, in giving us the kingdom in glory, but he's long-suffering, and he's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering toward who? The tares? His wheat. So what does he mean here? There are still a lot of blades out there that are indistinguishable from the tares that have not yet budded. That's what he's saying. You know this of yourself, don't you? If you're a Christian, how many of you have lived your life and you've been in pursuit of something for all these years? It was your God. And yeah, you may have gone to church, but you know, it was all out of routine. It was all of tradition. Your parents had you there or whatever. And all of a sudden you were pulled out of that and you budded. It could have been at 50, could have been at 60. It's not always numerical growth that the church is always blessed with. One of the things that has made me humbled as a pastor to see the Lord change people. Some who've been in the church all their life and have been dormant, and all of a sudden buds are everywhere. Fruit is showing to the glory of God. And you're excited because you're seeing the kind of growth of the internal work of the Spirit upon the heart as the word is being heard to with profit as the good soil. Where did that come from? Well, I believe that fruit bearing is a result from the faithful preaching of the gospel. And as the gospel is preached, and people, more and more people, as the Spirit applies that word to the heart, they are hearing with profit to the bearing of fruit. Jesus is telling us to be excited and to be patient for that, my friends. The fields are white for harvest. Some of you maybe have children who have not yet budded, and you pray for them. Some of you have loved ones or Christians that you're ministering to or witnessing to, and they're just hardened. But you know what? One day, by the power of the Spirit, as you give that word, they may bud. They may bear fruit. They may come to life. And all of God's elect are constantly coming in. And in the midst of that, the Lord is saying, be patient. Because yes, there is another reality happening. As the wheat bud, as the blades bring forth ears, as the good tree is bearing good fruit, guess what's also happening? Tares will also bud among them with their bad fruit. That is just what Jesus is saying. And you see, that can lead to so much distress, so much heartache. You don't even know how to process all the frustrations and things that are going on. You're simply thinking, why, Lord? Jesus is explaining this in this parable. Paul said that, 1 Timothy 5. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment. But those of some men follow later. Some it's really clear. Some it bubbles out later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. So some don't hear the word with any profit, and they bear nothing but bad fruit in their life. And you know, you see it in their reaction to the word of God. You see it in their anger to the word, in their criticism of the word, in all of the hostility they spew out of their mouth in the life of the kingdom. And the fruit that follows is nothing but rotten. Jesus wants us to understand this phenomenon, and he expresses by saying it causes his angels in heaven alarm because of what the tares are doing among the wheat. Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Why does it have all these tares? Do you want us to go and gather them up? They're distressed over this reality. And that has always been the reason, you see, that the church has been persecuted. Think about the reality of this psalm that I'm about to quote to you. In thy heritage, the heathen now, O God, triumphantly stand. So he's saying they're among your people. They defile your holy temple. They destroy your chosen land. Ruthless, they've slain your servants. They've caused your saints to mourn. In the sight of all about us, we endure reproach and scorn. You see, this is the reason Jesus is saying that life in the kingdom is hard. Some of you know this, right? All the hardships, all the trials, all the afflictions, all the struggles, and it's easy to say, I want to give up. So much turmoil in the life of the church, so much fighting. Does the church look beautiful? Does it look like a radiant bride without spot? Well, from our perception, it looks like a church trampled underfoot by the devil. Why? Because there's tares among us. You see, whenever, as one pastor said, Christ is preached, you can be sure the Antichrist will raise his voice. Whenever the kingdom of heaven is showing itself with ears popping up on the wheat, you can be sure Satan will do all he can to match that with tares, attempting to disrupt that growth. Wherever in the world you are as godly, next door the ungodly will be found. That is the nature of the kingdom for the present, for God's people in this present age. Now, tomorrow, we're going to outline two perspectives because of this. That really should be a comfort for us. But what do you do? Is this a fatalistic sort of thing? Not at all, my friends. Jesus is giving this reality so that we would ensure that we, trusting in the Lord for salvation, would hear him to the profit of our own souls, and that we all would be that good wheat bearing fruit to the glory of God. You see, the only way that can occur is if we have truly heard our need for a Savior, believed in Jesus Christ for salvation, trusted in him, renounced ourselves, and believed upon him for life. If you haven't done that, the Lord is calling you to that today, that you may know and become the kind of wheat that is pleasing and glorifying to him. Founding Grace Radio is a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you a sincere invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com, or you can give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks for tuning in today. Until another edition, may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.